We thank you for this Christmas. We thank you for the birth of your Son. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. You may be seated. So dazzling but disappointing. Dazzling and disappointing. A number of years ago, my wife was listening to an autobiography by Tina Fey. And if you don't know who she is, Tina Fey is a comedian. She was on Saturday Night Live for years. She had her own TV series for a while, 30 Rock. She describes this event in her autobiography where she met her first celebrity. And this was during the time that she was on Saturday Night Live. And the celebrity was Sylvester Stallone. And she had these two things to say about meeting celebrities. There was something very dazzling about them. There was also something very disappointing about them. And the dazzling thing was this. She says, their teeth are always whiter than you can imagine. Whiter than you can ever imagine. But they're always smaller than you anticipated them being. Shorter, smaller. And so even though she got to meet this wonderful celebrity, Sylvester Stallone, it was both dazzling, but in the end, it was disappointing. Okay, so dazzling and disappointing. I'll tell you something else that was a bit dazzling, but also disappointing for me. And I hope I don't offend anyone by saying this, but earlier this past week, my family and I went to see the National Tree. And, you know, I saw it from a distance. And I was like, oh, this is really beautiful, right? And I get up to it, and I'm like, you know, anything that looks like I might have been able to do it isn't quite as dazzling as it could be. So I feel like it was like a missed opportunity. And so I was dazzled at first, but when I got closer to it, I was disappointed. So dazzling, but disappointing. And you know, our problem sometimes is that we chase after what is dazzling, but we end up getting disappointed. Whether that's successes, like the best universities, the best grad schools, the best connections that you can make for yourself, or titles, those abbreviations that you can put before or after your name, the title of president or director or manager, something like that, or accomplishments. All of those extracurriculars that you put on your resume, those places that you've studied, those papers that you've written, those talks that you have given, those teams that you have led, all of these things we chase after because they're dazzling, but we end up getting disappointed. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. There's nothing wrong with pursuing excellence in your field, doing the best that you can do, being the best that you can be, but the point is, none of these things is ever so dazzling as to truly satisfy. And if you're honest with yourself, you look back at your own experience, your own experience will bear this out time and time again. We chase what looks and seems to be dazzling, but we end up getting disappointed. And so is it any wonder that when Jesus came, he wasn't dazzling enough, and so he was rejected? So verse 11 of John 1, he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. His own people did not receive him because he didn't dazzle them. He didn't dazzle. Now, how didn't he dazzle them? Well, two things. He didn't look the part of a king, and he didn't play the part of a king. He didn't look the part of a king. He didn't play the part of a king. And you have to know this about the people. They were expecting a king. That was the whole hope of a Messiah. When you said Messiah, when you said Christ, and those are the same word, they translate the same word, both mean anointed. When you said that word, the people heard king. And they had certain expectations of who a king would be and what he would be like. But Jesus didn't look the part of a king. There's this passage from Isaiah 53, where Isaiah, hundreds of years before the Messiah came, he is prophesying what the Messiah would be like. Now, nobody knows exactly what Jesus looks like. Okay, we can sort of guess kind of based on where he lived, like what his skin tone might be, but nobody knows exactly what he looked like, right? Well, Isaiah had this to say about him, hundreds of years before the Messiah came. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. You know, it's highly possible, it's likely, and I hope this doesn't shatter your dreams, that Jesus has a crooked nose, that he's a little bit shorter than you imagine, that maybe he is balding, maybe he has a dad bod, Regardless, there was something about him that didn't look the part of a king. He didn't look the part of a king. He also didn't play the part of a king. He hung out with the wrong crowds. He fought the wrong battles. So the wrong crowds. He didn't hang with the sort of people that a king hangs with. He hung out with the outcasts, the rejects, the people on the edges. He wasn't found in courts. He wasn't found with the leaders of the people. He hung out with the wrong crowd, and he fought the wrong battles. The Jews had an enemy, and it was the Romans. But Jesus didn't seem interested in fighting against the Romans. He seemed interested in fighting against different kinds of enemies. The enemies that plague us the most. The oppression of evil, disease, sin itself. Jesus didn't look the part of a king. He didn't play the part of a king. He didn't dazzle enough, and so the people were left disappointed. And maybe we've personally experienced this with Jesus. Maybe he hasn't dazzled us like we have wanted him to. That we don't have the life that we wanted. We don't have the sort of family we want. We don't have the sort of stability that we were anticipating. We don't have the healing that we have longed for. We feel like we're still fumbling around in the dark. We haven't been dazzled. And so we still feel disappointed. But what if the problem isn't that Jesus isn't dazzling enough, but that it's we who don't have the eyes and heart to see just how truly dazzling he is? There's a movie came out about 15 years ago. It's a movie called Family Man. And it's one of Nicolas Cage's 4,000 movies. He's very prolific, just not always in a good way. But this is one of his better movies, in my opinion. And in this movie, Family Man, Nicolas Cage plays a character who leads a very dazzling life. He has a position in a very powerful company. He has the luxury. He has the women. But then through a series, through an event of Christmas magic, he gets to see a glimpse of what his life would be like otherwise, a different road he could have taken, a road where he prioritized people over possessions, where he prioritized character over career. And at first, he's disappointed by this glimpse that he sees. He can't imagine how in the world this could be a better life than what he had. But he begins to see that what he had thought was dazzling, the money, the power, all of that was truly disappointing. And in reality, light and life were somewhere other than where he had originally thought. And it's the very same for us. If our eyes are open, we are going to see that the kind of light and life that the world offers is still too dark and it's still too dead. And so what remains for us? It's to see just how dazzling Jesus really is. And how he is not at all disappointing. So how is Jesus dazzling? Two things. He is light and he is life. Jesus is light and he is life. First of all, he is light. Jesus is light. A number of years ago when we were living in Pennsylvania, I went on a field trip with my oldest daughter, Abielle. It was a field trip to Laurel Caverns in Pennsylvania. It's in southwestern PA. Beautiful set of underground caves, very elaborate, very, very beautiful. And we were on a tour, of course, and we were being guided through. And we came to a portion of the caverns. And of course, there's artificial light everywhere. We came to a portion of the caverns where the tour guide said, I'm going to do a little experiment with you guys. He said, if you put yourself into pitch black, if you shut out all light, he says, your eyes will begin to see lights that actually aren't there. And so what he did is he turned off all of the lights. He said, don't move, stay where you are. He turned off all the lights. And sure enough, after a minute or two, in that darkness, that pitch is black, you can imagine, I began to think, well, okay, I can see that some light coming on. Or I see some light from somewhere, right? But no, there was no light at all. What was happening was our eyes were playing tricks on us. There was a false light that we were seeing. False light everywhere. And what a picture of the world that is. We keep seeing false lights because we so desperately long for a light to follow. Revolutions that disappoint us. Leaders that disappoint us. Political visions that disappoint. Philosophies that disappoint, dreams that disappoint. All of these things look like light, but they leave us fumbling around in the darkness. So what about your life? What about your life? Think about yourself right now. Those lights that catch your attention. What have you been following, only to find that you're still stumbling in the darkness? Achievements that you have pursued. The shininess of wealth and stability. The luster of a vague spirituality. All of these lights that have appealed to you. But all of these things, even though they're dazzling, maybe for a moment, they're false lights. And they will disappoint. But not the light of Jesus. Because this is true life, the light that is Jesus. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. Jesus shines into the cavern of humanity. He shines into the cavern of your heart and my heart, and he says, I am the way. Follow me. There's true light here, and you will not be disappointed. And if you follow this true light, you will live, because Jesus is life. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know, it's no secret that humanity is not dazzling. And I don't mean fashion sense. I don't mean like looking back in time and seeing, my goodness, why did they wear such clothes? I mean something else. I'm talking about the heart. I'm talking about the lives we live, the secret lives we live, the inner lives. That we are not as dazzling as we could be, not as dazzling as we actually want to be. It's not that we're as bad as we could be. We could always be worse. But we're all closer than we think to making enemies out of our neighbors. We're closer than we think to hardening ourselves against our neighbors' hardships. We're closer than we think to justifying again and again all the ways that we fall short, even of our own moral standards that we set up for ourselves. And if we just be honest, if we would stop the excuse making, we are a disappointment. We are a disappointment to the glorious, dazzling lives that we deep down long to live. Lives of integrity, of purity, of nobility, of justice, of goodness. And the root of these disappointed lives is that we have cut ourselves off from our Creator. We're called to be glorious gods. We are called to be aiming and reflecting the glorious godhood of our Creator, but we fall miserably, disappointingly short. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's what the Scripture says. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We fall short of that dazzling glory that we actually deep down long to bathe in. We long to be a part of. And instead, we settle for a sort of half-life. We settle for a disappointing and very far from dazzling sort of death. But our Creator knows this. He loves us. And so he came down to give us life. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that's Jesus that he's talking about here, the eternal Word of the same being with God. Like we'll say in the Creed in a moment, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, of the same being with God. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, that is Jesus. And without him was not anything made that was made. That all things includes you and me. We are the loved, prized, carefully crafted creatures of the eternal Word, Jesus. But we fall short. We fall short of this upward, dazzling call that he has placed on us. He's placed on humanity. But Jesus loved his disappointing and very far from dazzling creatures. And so he became one of us. He became one of us. Verse 14. The dazzling Creator took on the form, the very far from dazzling form of a creature. The Word became flesh. This stuff. Real stuff. Solid stuff. As real as you and me. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus became one of us to light the way for us and to restore us to life. And how did He do this? By reconnecting us to the family of God. By reconnecting us to the family of God. So this Christmas, one of the first things that I was greeted with was a video that was sent by my sister-in-law. It was a video of her two children opening their presents on Christmas morning. It was a very, very beautiful video, as you can imagine. They're about a little over 2 years old now, the two of them. And what you have to know about these two children, Desmond and Eliza, is that they were adopted. They were adopted out of lives that maybe would have hardly ended up as any life at all. So you can imagine what kind of life they may have lived if they hadn't been adopted. So they were rescued out of something profoundly dark and something lost. But now, through being adopted, they have the life and the light they need. They have the life of parents who love them and the light of wisdom and guidance on their way. And it's the very same with us. It's the very same with us. Verse 11, He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born life, life, life. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Children of God, life in the family of God, with all the light that we need. That is how Jesus dazzles. Light for our darkness, life for our estrangement. And it's not disappointing. It's not disappointing. Dazzling, but disappointing. That's how our life can be if we pursue the myriad false lights, the false lives that are on offer out there. But my prayer for us is this, for all of us, is that we remember this Christmas why Jesus, the Creator God, made flesh, why He came to us, to give us true light and true life in the family of God, to reconcile us to God so that we could truly shine. And may we actually follow Him this Christmas. May we do what He says and actually discover this life that He offers, this dazzling life in Him as the children of God. And we will not be disappointed. Let's pray. Father, we give You thanks for the light and the life of Christ that He is and that He brings to us. And I pray for us that You would shine Your light into our darkness and show us how to follow You. And Lord, share Your life with us. Connect us to Your life so that on the last day we can rise with You and be joined with You forever. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.